Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 9. Everything that God has ever promised us, all of the protection that he's promised us, all of the provision he promised us, is made available to you once you become a born-again Christian. Once you become a born-again Christian, the promises of God, the protections of God, in a sense, it unlocks all of the provisions in the finished works of Jesus once you become a born-again Christian. So imagine what life is like when you're not a born-again Christian. Of course, you don't have to imagine. We all used to be there, amen? It was not made available to us, the provisions and the protection of God. But this one little thing I notice here in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a confession of lordship. This is a confession of lordship. That once I confess the lordship of Jesus Christ, then what I am saying is, you know, when I confess that, I am now under his protection. I confess he's the Lord of my life. I am under his protection. I am under his guidance. I am under his safety. Now, I think as Christians, you need to know that. When you make him the Lord of your life, you unlock all of his provisions and promises, number one. And number two, when you confess the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life, then you are now under his protection and under his guidance. Now, if you're under his guidance, that means he's the shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 14 says he is the good shepherd. All right? So he is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Now, I want you to see this. If he is the shepherd, once you've confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ and he is now your shepherd, now that he is your shepherd, you are not in want of anything. You're not in want of strength. You're not in want of healing. You're not in want of finances. You are not in want of anything. Why? Because when you've confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ, he becomes you are under his protection. You're under his guidance. He becomes your shepherd. And now the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. Say out loud, I shall not be in want.
I shall not be in want.
Now, this happens as a result of you being in Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to be in want. Say it out loud. I will not be in want.
I will not be in want.
The Lord is my shepherd. Now, as your shepherd, he's going to lead and he's going to guide you and he's going to provide for you and he's going to protect you. And all the promises have been made available to you. Now you're going to have to line your thinking up with that. It is not that, you know, Romans 10, 9, 10, we only use it when we talk to people get born again. And I looked at this. I said, man, this thing is packed. I have confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ. And as a result of me professing and confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ, he is now my shepherd. I shall not be in want of money. I shall not be in want of healing. I shall not be in want of happiness. I shall not be in want of strength. I shall not be in want of anything because I am now under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So here's the first confession I want us to say together. So I'm going to teach and then we're going to confess it and then it's on you. All right? All right. So say this out loud. I believe in my heart,
I believe in my heart
that Jesus Christ is the Lord of, is the Son of God.
I believe
he was raised from the dead
for my justification.
I confess him
as my Lord and Savior.
Jesus is my Lord.
He is
dominating my life.
He is
guiding me.
And he is
leading me. Everybody said amen to that.
Amen.
Now, go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, where we're talking about all of the in him realities. You know, I started to say, just give you a sheet to study this, but I'm thinking, man, this stuff is good. I need to sew this on the inside of you, and then you can take it and meditate it some more. In him, we are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Say out loud, I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
Now, and I told you that that now has to become something that you really get a revelation of. It's, you know, I am in Christ Jesus means I have got to now start seeing myself in him. I've got to start understanding that. And I said to you this past Sunday, that's the confession that you hold fast to. Hold fast to your confession of faith about who you are in Christ Jesus. Say it again. I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
All is well with me.
All
right. Now, verse 28 says this, Acts 17, he says, for in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. That's a powerful thing, ladies and gentlemen. I am in him. I have his strength. I am strong because I am in him. I live his life. His life is being lived through me. Listen, look at what he says. For in him we are living. We're living how? In him. In him we have his strength. We move in him. And his very being. That's pretty, we're strong in him. A lot of things that we were not when we got in him, we are. So let's make this confession out loud. In him,
I live,
and move,
and have my being.
What a vast
storehouse
of power
in Christ,
my Savior
and Lord.
I have life.
I have energy.
I have strength
for even the impossible task.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, something's going to happen in here tonight. All right, let's look at this third scripture, St. John chapter 15, verses 5 and then verse 7. St. John 15, verse 5 and then verse 7. I want you to watch this very, very carefully now, because this is this was quite a revelation to me. This thing had me saying, ooh, 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 for a minute. Let's read verse 5 out loud and then verse 7. John 15, verse 5, ready? Read. I am the vine, you are the branches. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The only thing I want you to see in verse 5 is, I am the vine, God is speaking here, you are the branches. All right, the fruit now comes on the branch, right? But now you've got to understand that the vine is in the branch and the branch is in the vine. I mean, it's like one. It's like as the blood flows through your body, so does. I mean, if you have the vine and the branch and they're in one another, you have his life, you have his ability, you have his nature. Think about that. He's the vine, you're the branch. We're in there. We're in Christ, and Christ is on the inside of us. You have his ability. Wow. You have his nature. Look at this now. Look at this. I am taking you way from this just religious thought of hallelujah, we're in Christ, praise the Lord. No. We are in Christ and Christ is in us, and that means we have what he has. Glory be to God. I said we have what he has. Now, verse 7 is the one that I really looked at here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's a condition stated here. And my words, if my words abide in you. And I said, now, Lord, how am I to, again, I'm looking for precision. And before I could get it out of my mouth, he says, I'm not talking about memorizing the scripture. I'm not talking about teaching the scripture. I'm not talking about even preaching the scripture. He says, none of those things will be a measure of the word being in you. Now, I thought, well, if I'm memorizing the scripture, certainly it's on the inside of me. Uh-uh. He said, not even meditating. I said, well, what are you saying? He said, the measure of how much of the word, or the measure, we measure if the word abides in us or not. We measure it by the amount of practice we apply to it. See, you can memorize it and not practice it. You can teach it and not practice it. You can meditate on it and not practice it. But the only proof that the word abides in you is when you practice it. Oh, my goodness. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The word abides in me in the measure that I practice it. The word abides in me in the measure that I practice it. I said, oh, now that separates some stuff right there. It's no longer I got the word in me. Watch this. Watch me say it out of memory. Oh, it's no longer, oh, I got the word in me. Oh, I can teach that thing. Oh, it's no longer, oh, the word abides in me, Brother Dollar, because I tell you one thing, I know that scripture. None of that. It's measured by the amount of practice you apply to it. So what is he saying? If you're not practicing that word, it's probably not abiding in you. If you're not doing it, it's probably not abiding in you. Dear God, that completely separates Christianity and religion. Religion likes to talk about it. It likes to perform with it. But he says you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That word should have free course in me, teaching me, governing me, dominating me. But that word abides in me in the measure that I practice it. In the measure that I practice it. Don't forget that. That word abides in me in the measure that I practice it. That word abides in me in the measure that I practice it. That word abides in me in the measure that I practice it. That may explain why a lot of people don't get answers to their prayers, because he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Okay? So now you've got a great answer to, you know, examine your life and say, look here, am I practicing this word? Am I practicing this word? That is now going to authenticate that word abiding on the inside of you, that I am practicing that word. So let's make this confession of faith out loud together. I abide in him. I live in him. He is the vine. I am the branch. The vine is in the branch. And the branch is in the vine. His life, the life of God, is in me. His nature, the love of God, is in me. Just as blood flows through my natural body, his life flows through my inner man. I will let that life and love dominate me. Wow. You see why I wanted to do this? There's something that'll take place on the inside of you by hearing and understanding the word as it being taught, and then you release it and we confess it over our lives. Let's go to the next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's read verse 17 out loud together. Ready, read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Okay, so now watch this now. If any man be in Christ, so I am in Christ. I am in Christ. I am a new species that has never existed before. I am in Christ. Say out loud, I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
Now my life is hid in him. Okay, it's hidden. You cool. I'll say when we have to come. Y'all ready to go? I'm saying everything tonight, Lord. Everything you say, I'm going to say it. I need it all. So old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, there's a reason why God looks at the heart of a man. The Bible says man looks at the outer appearance, but God looketh on the what? On the heart. There's a reason why. Oh, this thing just so blessed me today. God looks at me. He looks at you as we're in Christ Jesus. And when he looks at us, he can't help but to see us in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So he's not seeing you. He's seeing Christ. He's not seeing you. See, the world sees you, but God sees you in Christ. So however the world disqualifies you, but God qualifies you. See, you may miss the mark in your behavior, and the world will disqualify you. But remember, the Bible says that when sin abounds, watch this, grace does what? Much more abound. So what is he saying? He is saying that grace will always be greater than sin. There is not one time in your life where sin will be greater than grace. Go in the Old Testament and just take a few people and see how God still used them in spite of their sin. In fact, I'm doing a little trace right now. I'm looking at David's grandmother and I'm looking at this other woman who gave birth to this other great guy. And I'm thinking these were prostitutes and these were all adulterers and God used them and bought great men and women through. How did that happen? I tell you how it happened, because grace is always greater than your sin. So every time you get to the point of thinking that your sin has disqualified you, God doesn't disqualify those who are in Christ. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, you keep letting the devil tell you you're disqualified because of your behavior. Hallelujah. No, you are qualified because of who you are in. Say, I'm in Christ.
I am in Christ.
Now, is there any area that Christ has been disqualified out of?
No,
he qualifies for everything, right? And so I'm in Christ. So when God looks at me, you receive the honor that he easily extends towards his son, Jesus Christ. So while you're in Christ, you get all the honor that Christ gets. Y'all are not hearing what I am saying. This is not about you. This is about Christ. Can't you see how awesome it is to celebrate Jesus because we hide in him? I don't care what's going on. We hide in him. When you done act like a fool, you hiding in him. God don't even see that. You still qualify because you're hidden in him. Now, I know that sounds like, you're trying to make an excuse for bad behavior. I'm not making an excuse for bad behavior. What I'm trying to get you to do is to understand if you will accept who you are in Christ, then the behavior will line up with your identity. Amen. If the day you begin to believe I identify in Christ, I identify with Christ, I am Christ, I am a son of God, a child of God. Once you do that, we won't even have to talk about bad behavior. But if you want to talk about bad behavior, it's because you are not confident in your identity. Once you become confident in your identity in Christ, you are not going to be disqualified by something you did in your behavior realm. And if you did misbehave, if you remember you in Christ, and the day you really believe you in Christ, guess what happens? That behavior changes because it starts lining up with who you now believe you are. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, for some, That'll sound like an excuse to sin. That's not an excuse to sin, because if you can keep sinning, that continues to give an indication that you have not accepted your identity. And I told you that the way that the devil deals with it, he's got to attack your confidence in your identity, and then you'll behave like he wants you to behave. But if things are going on in life and you're waking up every day in the midst of hard times, I'm in Christ. It's going to be all right. The bills are due. I'm in Christ. I'll have that paid. I'm in Christ. I'll get a better job. I'm in Christ. All is well with me. You don't see it right now, but you're in Christ, and God is looking at you in Christ. I don't understand why anybody would ever be worried about going to heaven when you're in Christ. So here's the confession I want us to make. Repeat after me. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. Let's say it like this. I'm a new creation being. Say it again. I'm a new creation being with the life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God on the inside of me. Now, here's the deal about this inward man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:16. This inward man is real. The Christian at the new birth does not have a new physical body, although he will one day. It is the man on the inside who is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. We're talking about that man on the inside. Verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's renewed day by day. Now, you have to keep confessing who you are. Jesus confessed who he was and what his mission was everywhere he went. Everywhere he went. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everywhere he went. His identity was the key to his operation on this planet. Oh, hallelujah. Did you hear that? His identity was the key. Knowing his identity, having confidence in his identity, was the key to his operation on the planet. Same thing's true with us. Knowing who we are in Christ. Say out loud, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Say it again, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Say it again, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Did you say it before you came to church tonight?
Yes, I did.
Say it when you go to bed. Say it on the way to work. Say it when you're confronted with crazy stuff. Say it when you don't know what to do about what's happening. Keep declaring, I am in Christ. Now, why do I say that? Go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. That'll bring peace. When worry knocks on the door, say, I'm in Christ. I have peace. No matter what's going on, your weapon against anything the devil throws at you from now on is to open your mouth up and confess. How many of you know faith confessions will bring about realities? Notice in that Romans 10:10, we started, you believe with the heart, but you confess with your mouth. Amen. You believe in it with your heart. If you do believe it with your heart, you will say it with your mouth. Okay. But it takes practice. I'm saying you have to practice this. All right. And notice what we just learned about practicing. It'll prove to you that the word of God is abiding on the inside of you. All right. So now watch this. Seeing then, verse 14, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Now, somebody says, well, what profession, or that word profession is the word confession. What is it that we should be holding fast to? Well, look at the Amplified of the same verse of scripture here in Hebrews 4:14. This was just a great revelation to me to know that I can have some precision in what is it that I'm supposed to be confessing all of the time. He says here in verse 14, inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith, what? In him. So what is it? What is the confession that we're holding fast to? Our confession of faith in him. That means I am in Christ. That's my confession. I'm in Christ. And somebody say, gonna put me out of my house. I'm in Christ. I'll be all right. Well, you lost your job. I'm in Christ. I'll get a better one. Because Christ ain't unemployed. You understand? I'm in Christ. It's going to be all right. I'm in Christ. You'll become so convinced of your invincibility in Christ. It'll change how you walk. I'm going to show you in a moment. You've been destined to operate like a king on the planet, but you still acting like a slave. Before you walk out of here tonight, you're going to have your scepter. You understand? Everybody walking out king. Well, Pastor, what if you're a woman? We're not king. You're king too. Everybody king. We all kings. All right. Well, I'm a queen. No, king. We all king. King. Burger King. King Jesus. We're king. All right. All right. Now, let's go to this next scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, this is interesting. Oh, this is good. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I was reading over this to think I was just going to skip this and just let you just do what you want to do with it. I said, oh, no, I got to get up on the inside of this right now, boy. Oh, my goodness. Now, verse 10, let's read it out loud together. Ready to read. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained, that we shall walk in them. Now notice, we are his workmanship. Have you ever thought about what that word is? It's the product that God created. I'm his workmanship. We're the product that who created? All right? And he created this product in Christ. Huh? And he says he did it unto what kind of work? Good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. So now here's what I'm saying. You got to be careful about what you say about God's handiwork. You can't be going around talking about, well, I'm just so poor and pitiful and I don't know if I'm going to ever be anything and I just ain't going to never be. Whoa, you're talking about what God made. The Bible says we have been skillfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. This emotional stuff that gets you to talking bad about yourself. No, yourself ain't here no more. Yourself is dead. You in Christ. So the stuff you used to say about yourself, you can't say that no more. Because you in Christ. So the poor, pitiful, good for nothing, don't you dare say that about the workmanship of God that was created in Christ Jesus. Don't even let the devil take you there no more. Anytime you think about yourself, don't you say nothing. You got to think about yourself in Christ. I'm in Christ. The poor man, the poor pitiful man, the no good for nothing. All of that is dead. You are skillfully, wonderfully made, anointed, awesome, good, amazing. You're all that God made you. And sometimes it just takes you recognizing who you are, saying who you are, to drive away that lie that's trying to come out your mouth about who you are. Turn to somebody. You know, you remember saying, I am somebody. I'm more than somebody. I'm a good somebody. I'm an anointed somebody. I'm a prosperous somebody. I'm a healed somebody. I'm somebody, somebody. Well, now, Brother Dollar, that sounds a little arrogant. No, there's a difference between arrogant and confident. I've got to be confident about who God said I am. He made me. This new species of being that has never existed before. When man got in Christ, God was responsible for that. God made me. I am not going to speak against and talk down about God's product. So you jerk your emotions in control. You don't say that about yourself. Well, I'm just a piece of... Well, there's lots of things you can say after that, but you don't say none of it. Don't you say none of it. You're a chip off the old block. Amen. Are you listening to me? Have we made a confession on this yet? All right, let's make one. I am
his workmanship.
He made me
a new creation.
Say, I've been made
by God.
Skillfully.
Wonderfully
made. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. Oh, Lord have mercy. Man. All right, check this out. My God. Scriptures we've read before, scriptures we've seen before in our grace teaching. Let's read verse 21 out loud together. Ready, read. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Now listen, who knew no sin? He had to be made sin because he didn't know how to sin. He never did sin. How is he ever going to be sin unless God make him sin? Because he didn't qualify to sin. Because he never sinned. Jesus never sinned. Yet he was made sin. He was made sin without sinning. Huh? That ain't right. In other words, I mean, you know, people say, well, you're a sinner because you sin. Well, how much sin you got to sin before you're a sinner? Well, here's somebody who didn't sin at all, but God made him a sinner for our sake. And why did he make him a sinner? That we might be made what? The righteousness of God without doing righteous. And look at the last two words. In him. You can't be righteous unless you're in him. All right, now watch this. Now that I have been made righteous in Christ, my righteousness is secure. My righteousness is secure. Now, think about what I'm saying. I am outside of Christ in my own righteousness. That's self-righteous. I'll never be able to keep it. But I'm righteous in Christ. Get the picture. I am now in Christ. My righteousness is secure in Christ. That means nothing I do on the outside can rob me of what I have in Christ. There is nothing I can do that can rob me of what I have in Christ. I am secure in Christ. My righteousness is secure in Christ. I have been made righteous. Now, some people think, well, you can sin away your righteousness. If you can sin away your righteousness, it's self-righteousness. But if your righteousness is in Christ, you can't sin away that righteousness. It's secure. You're secure. That's why he made you righteous in Christ. Do you not understand? Not only is your righteousness secure in Christ, but everything you got in Christ is secure. Lord, have mercy. Say out loud, my righteousness
is secure
in Christ. Now, you know what religion says. Religion spends so much time talking about sin, and you sin, and you got to try to stop sinning. And let me tell you something. You know, somebody say, I'm going to keep the law of the Bible, and I'm going to stop sinning by the law of the Bible. The Bible, God says that the law was given to make you sin. So people who reject the grace of God and they accept the law of Moses, you ain't got to say nothing. I know you sinning. You wearing sin out because the law of Moses was given so that you can sin, so that sin can increase in you, so he can prove to you that you can't do what you're trying to do without a Savior. But religion keeps bombarding. I'm getting ready to like just get really intense in the grace teaching for a season because people still don't have it. You are still trying to, through your self-effort, trying to obtain what you can only get in Christ. Separate you from Christ, you're hell-bound, nothing, all of the things you used to say about yourself. In Christ is the only difference. In Christ is the only difference. You are going to be shocked of the people you're going to see in heaven. They're in Christ. Now, here's the thing. Here's this other thing we think about. Well, are you trying to tell me they're in Christ? But I know for a fact they were sinning like crazy. When you're in Christ, you're not going to be sinning like you crazy. Let me add some more to that. When you're in Christ and you have confidence of who you are in Christ, you're not going to be sinning like you're crazy. Romans 6:14 says that we are no longer under the law, but we're under grace. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over you when you're under grace instead of the law. If I'm trying to be righteous by the law, sin will dominate my life. If by the law I'm do good, get good, do bad, get bad, by the law, sin will dominate my life. And I may go 2-3 months and not have done nothing, but it'll eventually come back. It torments, it dominates because you know, you're trying to live life under the law. But when you live life under grace, trusting in what Jesus has done for you, trusting in what has been made available to you in Christ Jesus, and accepting your identity in Christ Jesus, then that grace and your confidence in who you are in will cause you not to sin more, but to walk away from that sin. So your behavior is going to be modified only when you have confidence in who you are in Christ Jesus. Say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God. Until you believe that, you'll never do right. So why is it that people act the way they act? They don't believe who they are in Christ. They don't believe their identity and who they've been made. I am secure. I used to wake up in religion all the time, even after entering into ministry, wondering, am I doing enough to get into heaven? Think of that. You know how tormenting that was? Am I doing enough to get into heaven? Oh, if I preach the wrong sermon, I might miss heaven. Oh, if I miss the mark and I don't go on that mission trip, I might not go to heaven. I even thought, well, you know, dear God, I'm not quite sure where I'm supposed to be going to preach, so I'm just going to preach everywhere. I almost killed myself because it was never enough. I mean, how much righteousness does a man have to do in order to be righteous? How much sin does a man have to do in order to be a sinner? Well, Brother Dollar, my Bible tells me if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from my righteousness. And I know I'm going to go to heaven because I've confessed all my sins. Yeah, but what if you forgot one of them? Really, what if you forgot one of them? You know, the Bible says whatever's done not of faith is sin. What if you forgot you didn't do something not of faith? For to him to know to do good and to do it not is sin. Well, what if you didn't do, you know, as good as what you should have did with that person that was on the street? It's impossible in our own effort. It's impossible. The only way is in Christ. The only way is to let our life go and let his life do the living. And he changes us. Quit making sin the issue. Yeah, but what if you're sinning? You're not. Why? Because you're a new creation. Yeah, but you're trying to say once you get born again, you're going to sin no more? No, you're going to still miss the mark, but you're going to get better because you have more confidence in who you are in Christ. See, every temptation of sin, you have enough power to overcome it. You just don't have enough confidence in who you are in Christ and in the power you have to overcome it. But I tell you, the next time you're being tempted and you say, wait a minute, I'm in Christ, I have enough power to overcome this sin, you will defeat it. There's just been no yielding to your identity. There's been no yielding to who you are. You just went ahead and accepted. Well, I'm just a human. Most of the time, do you know when, you know what the truth of the matter is? You know why people sin? You know why they sin? Because they want to. They have all of the ability of God not to. It's always an issue of free moral agency. What you choose to do, there is no sin that you don't do out of an act of your will. You don't fall into sin. You don't go around like, oops, I slipped and cussed her out. Ooh, I tripped and I'm in the bed with a woman. You don't do that. I'm in the bed. How did I get in this bed? And who is this lying next to me? And where is my clothes? Not how that works, man. That is so, so deceiving. The issue is, if I can have confidence in me in Christ, if I can have confidence in my identity, if I can have confidence in in this new species, this workmanship of God, that I'm not the guy that you referred to before. I'm not the Saul. I am the Paul. I am in Christ. I have an advantage that you just don't even know how awesome and powerful it is. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm in Christ. Turn to the other side and say, I'm in Christ. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. Say it again, I'm the righteousness of God. Therefore, we can stand in the presence of God. You know what it means? One of the definitions Brother Hagin used to use years ago, Brother Copeland used to use this same definition, that righteousness was right standing. That means you stand before God without condemnation or fear, without the sense of condemnation or insecurity, standing before God without the sense of condemnation. Now, think about that. How does a man stand before God without feeling condemned? The only way you can do that is how? In Christ. You can't. If you stand in the presence of God without being in Christ, you would just melt. You would be so. You're standing in the presence of pure truth. Well, how are you going to try to explain something to God? Well, Lord, the reason why I did, oh, Lord, I'm lying. I feel it. I'm lying. You can't do it. But you stand before God. I'm righteous, Lord, because I'm in Christ. You remember the little skit, I think we saw it one time, where they were going in the gate and the angels were collecting these files and they tell them whether they got in or not. And these people kept coming in with all of the things they have done. And they were denied entrance. And then this one guy came in and he's like, I have done so much, but I am in Christ. And they let him in. See, that's why. And you still hear this amongst religious people. It's like, you know, these people are going to burn in hell because of da 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 da. Well, if they're in Christ, you're going to have to eat those words because their righteousness is secure. And I'm sure whatever behavior they are accused of is probably either a lie or they didn't do it, because you change when you're in Christ. We assume that you just stay the same in Christ. You assume that once you get saved and once you become righteous, you assume you're just going to sin. So you keep trying to have this battle between you. But what if you say, but you sleep with 10 people? You're not going to. Why? Because you're saved. What does that mean? Christ is on the inside of you. You're just not going to be able to do the stuff you used to do. Now you got company. Before you could. He's on the inside of you, working with you. Christ is being formed on the inside of you. And the Christ root in you is going to produce that same kind of fruit. Paul said, eventually we got to come to the place of asking the question. If you really are of Christ, how is it that you can continue to do these things? Paul said the same thing when he said, shall you continue in sin? The question was asked, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, how can we? The new creation is on the inside of us. That's the new creation root. It doesn't give birth to those things. Yeah, but I see sin still in their life. That's because that's what was remaining on the branch. It'll fall off after a while. Give it some time. And some new fruit will grow on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How can we? I'm secure. My righteousness is secure in Him. I don't have to sweat to be righteous. I have been made righteous. That's a part of the handiwork of Jesus Christ. I am in Christ. You know how confident you are when you're in Christ? I mean, no more stress, you're in Christ. All kinds of things change once you realize that you're in Christ. Say out loud one more time, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Did we make a confession? Let's make a confession. Ready? I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
Where?
In Christ.
Let me ask you something. Can you be righteous without being in Christ?
No.
So the only way you can be righteous is where?
In Christ.
Where?
In Christ.
Where?
In Christ.
Is there such thing as a righteousness of God outside of God?
No.
So no matter how hard you work to try to be righteous, can you be righteous outside of Christ?
No.
So you got to be what?
In Christ.
And in Christ, he's the one that makes you what?
Righteous.
He makes you what?
Righteous.
So you don't become righteous. You get in Christ and you are what?
Righteous.
And what makes you righteous? In Christ. Lord have mercy. Say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God.
I'm the righteousness of God.
In Christ.
In Christ.
My standing with God is secure.
And my prayers avail much.
Yeah. Yeah. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. All right, verse 1. Read it out loud with me. Ready to read. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's wrong with that? That is saying that there is no condemnation provided that I walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now that is saying I'm condemned if I do this. Oh, no, 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 no. And I wonder, why was that not put in italicized in the King James Bible when you study what it is? That whole phrase, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, was not in the original translation. It was implied because of that law of Moses mindset that says, do good, get good. Okay, so if you do good and don't walk out in the Spirit, but if you walk in the flesh, then you won't be having any condemnation. That is not the truth. The truth is this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. When can I be assured that I'll have no condemnation? When I'm in Christ. When I'm in Christ. The assurance for me having no condemnation is not based on whether or not I walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. The assurance that I'll have no condemnation is based on me being in Christ Jesus, because in Him I move, in Him I breathe, in Him I have no condemnation. I can't be condemned in Him because of Him. I mean to tell you, before I found it, I got to preaching that. All right, now you got to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit, of course, is, you know, walking with a mindset that lines up with the Word. True. And then you can't walk in the flesh, because walking in the flesh is walking, you know, against the Word of God. True. But in that particular verse, when you talk about in Christ, it ain't got nothing to do with what you do. But it's got everything to do with what Christ has done. And your confidence in Him assures you, without any effort or performance of your own, it assures you that there will be no condemnation. And I'm telling you, the next time you even feel like you condemn, you say out loud, I'm in Christ. There is no condemnation. God has given us the gift of no condemnation. And where do you get the gift of no condemnation? In Christ. In Christ. No condemnation. No condemnation. No feeling at all that I can't be used by God, or that I'm no good, or that I've done something for God not to use me. I'm in Christ. I'm secure. I'm secure. Do you understand what that means? Being in Christ means everything. I have no condemnation in Christ. I have no guilt while I'm in Christ. I have no shame while I'm in Christ. Ooh, glory to God. Because in Christ I have the gift of no condemnation. That's a gift. That's not something you earn. The gift of no condemnation came with the package. And once you got in Christ, you got the gift. I refuse to go around and be condemned. See, the Bible talks about, I believe in 1 John, he says your confidence in what Jesus has done will make sure you don't have any condemnation. But if you find yourself being condemned, then you have no confidence in what the blood of Jesus has done. You have no confidence in being in Christ. So I have confidence in being in Christ. Even when I miss the mark, I will not walk around condemned. I will not beat myself up. Oh, Lord, Jesus, forgive me. I ain't no good, Lord. I'm just a dirty sinner. I'm a filthy rag. I ain't doing that. I'm not going to talk about his handiwork like that. I'm the righteousness of God. I am secure in you, and I will not be condemned. I receive the gift of no condemnation in Christ. You know what you do? You'll start thanking God more and more. You're in Christ. You ain't nothing outside of Christ. You know that? You ain't nothing. You just a piece of dust that deserves hell outside of Christ. But in him, I can do all things. Amen? Isn't that good, y'all? Say out loud, I'm in Christ. There is no condemnation. Because I'm in Christ Jesus, right now, present tense, there is no sense of condemnation about me. There is no sense of condemnation about me. Because I'm in Christ. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Okay, now I'm in Christ. There's no condemnation there. So now watch this. What else is in Christ? These scriptures are all over the New Testament. Think about meditating on these like every day and watch your life change. You become so powerful, the enemy is afraid of you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As you walk out of here as kings, I'm about to show you how to be a king. As you walk out of here as kings, the devil's going to be talking to you. He can only talk to you, try to deceive you, try to throw a philosophy at you, all this other stuff, and you're just going to have to say, I'm in Christ. If you can't even think of a scripture, say, I'm in Christ. I know that one. Now look at this one. But of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Oh, wow. So because I'm in him, I have what he's been made. Okay, so now let's look at, check out what you have. In Christ, he's been made what?
Wisdom.
So in Christ, I have
wisdom.
In Christ, I have wisdom. Don't you ever go around anymore talking about, I just don't know what to do. I have wisdom. I have wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. So anytime you're in a position where you don't know what to do, just say out loud, I'm in Christ. I have wisdom. I know what to do. And you might not know what to do at the time you're saying that, but if you'll just accept that, remember, faith confession is what produces realities. I'm in Christ. I have wisdom. Look what else he says. And righteousness. Say out loud, I'm in Christ.
I have righteousness.
I am righteous. What else you got? Sanctification, which is also holiness. Check that out. We've been having sanctification. Let me pull out what that means. Holy. Ooh, that bothers some religious people. Now you're whatever. No. See, he was made holy, and I'm in him. So I have access to him. So if him holy, then I'm holy. If him sanctified, yeah, I'm sanctified. Say out loud, I'm sanctified.
I'm holy.
Right now I'm holy.
I'm holy right now.
I am not holy based on my behavior. Holy living won't make you holy. But you being made holy will produce holy living. Doing right won't make you righteous, but accepting your righteousness will produce a righteous life. Good works won't save you, but if you receive your salvation in him, you'll eventually do good works. That makes sense. Well, it makes faith. Amen. And then he says, in Christ, we're redeemed. So I'm redeemed in Christ. I'm redeemed from sickness in Christ. I'm redeemed from poverty in Christ. I'm redeemed from death in Christ. Oh, check that out. So sickness comes on your body. You need to, first thing you do, I'm in Christ. I'm redeemed from sickness. When's the last time you made that? Or did the doctor say, well, you got this? And you're like, oh, Lord, let me call everybody and tell them what I got. You done forgot who you are.
You should be talking to that doctor and blowing his mind. Well, I see cancer. Well, that ain't what I see. I'm in Christ. I see healing right now. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed from sickness. You don't even know that, do you? Doc, you don't have any idea who you're talking to. I'm that new species. Hallelujah. I'm that creation. That species that's never existed before, man. I'm in Christ, Doc. I'm in Christ. See, unless you acknowledge the good in you, you won't see it. Unless you acknowledge you in Christ and the finished works of Jesus, you're not going to see it.
Well, I tell you what, boy, your great-granddaddy was in poverty, your granddaddy was in poverty, and bless God, you're in poverty. Oh, no, I'm in Christ, and I've been redeemed from poverty. Well, it don't look like, keep looking. Keep looking. I'm in Christ, and I'm redeemed from poverty. Your faith confession will create a reality. Stop yourself the next time pressure come on you and listen to you, and that'll explain to you exactly why you are where you are. Stop yourself the next time pressure comes. Now, I don't want to hear all this stuff about, well, you know, we human. Whatever. You can be human and broke, or you can be in Christ and redeemed from brokenness. I choose to be in Christ. It's when the wrong things happen that you make sure you say the right thing.
Thank you for watching this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.